Do you think that the football viewing public is going to be ready for what they're going to see on Thursday night, Al? You think that they're going to be prepped for the opening of the Rams and the Raider game on Amazon that will be streaming?
That's a tough one. Raiders playing better.
That's not what I was getting at.
No, I don't think so.
Do you have any idea what I'm talking about?
We're just talking about what? No.
Emily?
I thought you were just talking about the game.
Yes.
Are they ready for it?
Earlier today.
NFL Films
yes.
came in
oh,
to
yeah,
get
the. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like the. Oh, yeah. That. NFL Films was in here this morning, Al, shooting a little opening for Thursday Night Football, including Travis and Sliwa. That's so exciting. Get
so,
excited
so
about
what are
that.
The details there? What are the details? Do you know how that works? So
yeah.
I'm not sure. I know, obviously, for NFL Films, but like how they're going to use what we just did.
So they came in and recorded some of the stuff that we've been talking about today.
Yeah, yeah.
And they will repurpose it for part of the open, right? Mm-hmm. I've seen it a handful of times. They go into the home team's market and the visiting team's market and get what's being talked about on the radio about the visiting teams, the home team, where everybody is. And that's the opening of Thursday Night Football. And it's going to have you and me in it.
Get it.
Maybe. Unless somebody back at the NFL Films goes, oh, no, don't put those guys on TV. That
were
looks
we,
terrible.
Are we supposed to be...
I like that you did. That you had no
like, wait,
idea.
What happened?
Are we supposed
That's
to be...
So great.
Are we supposed to be, like, incredibly positive on what we were saying? I don't think we had to, right? You know, they're hyping up a game.
Yeah.
They're hyping up Rams, Raiders, as best as they can. I
sure.
mean, you can only hype it up so much.
It's about the takes, Al.
We are kind of critical, but you, there's
they've
no
lost,
really way around
six
it.
Six games in a row. What would you, I mean? It's they've lost six.
Well,
games
coming
in a row.
Off a Super Bowl.
They're 3-9.
And, you know,
they're 0-6 from their since the
3-3
week.
Yeah,
they 3-3 at the bye
and kind of right in the heart of the mix.
Right in the heart of the mix. They were right in it, and now fast forward Thursday Night Football against the Raiders.
All right,
and the Raiders
you.
Are hot. The Raiders have won 3 in a row. The
yeah.
Rams have lost 6 in a row. But I care less about that, and I care more about being on Thursday Night Football.
That's fair.
Hopefully they have Al Michaels introduce me. That what would make it particularly exciting for me is if they say, Al Michaels here for
yep.
Thursday Night Football on Amazon. Let's take it over to Travis Rogers from ESPN 710.
I want them to do cut-ins, too. Like they take pieces of what we said and say, you know,
yeah.
true or false, what they said. Did it come to fruition? Did it not come to fruition?
I also want Al Michaels to just really love your haircut. I want him to like just say
like,
something,
come on,
about
now
it
you're
or
just
something about
being
it.
Being gratuitous and piling on.
Well, you had your headphones on, so you didn't have an issue.
I got a couple of these at the Christmas party on mm-hmm. Saturday night because you know, a handful of people listening. Your haircut's not that bad. Which is not exactly
take
what
off
you're
your
looking
headphones for.
Is that time
second?
To grow out?
It's only been 3 days. It'd been 2 days at that point. It's not really grown out all much. It's still just
it's better.
The fuzzy thing. Yeah.
It's still really short.
But what you want is your
really
hair looks
short
great.
Up top.
It looks great.
Really
you
short
look fine.
Top.
Not. Oh, it doesn't look as bad as you made it out to be.
It's like when people tell you like you're not as fat as
right.
As,
well, that
as you
that
sound.
Seems to be the refrain that I get mostly when I'm out and about is you're not nearly as fat as you sound
yeah,
on the radio.
Because you demolish yourself. 9 out of 10
times. I like to take the weapon away. I like to disarm myself first. Congratulations to Ray in Whittier. He wins the sweet passes to the Jimmy Kimmel Bowl, SoFi Stadium, coming up here in a couple of Saturdays. Fresno State and Washington State. Not a bad game. I bet you both of those teams put some people in the stands. I think that is a good bowl game for both of those teams.
SoFi also has this just come to the damn stadium,
sure.
a chance to come see the stadium. What are we talking about? What event was it? I'm forgetting off the top of my head. Oh, I had a couple cousins in town who were in town on a Saturday and they were going to stay to Sunday. Like, hey, should we go to the Rams game? I was like, you should go see the stadium.
Yeah, it's a good answer.
Go see the stadium.
It's a good answer.
Honestly, for those who have never seen it, it's a perfect way to do it.
It's so weird, Slee, that the Rams are where they are. And I know why, because of the injuries, the Super Bowl hangover, the top-heavy nature of their roster, everything else. But
can I stop you for a second?
Yeah.
Before the season started.
Never. Never.
If I said, Trev, they're going to be 3-9, 12 games in. You want to bet your house on it?
I probably would have lost my house.
I know.
I probably would have lost my house.
So would have everybody else.
Yeah. It's been a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
They've been bad really all season long and gotten worse. I guess if we're looking for silver linings, and this is really, like you just said, lost 6 in a row. They're going to be under 500 for the first time in Sean McVay's career.
Yep.
They're not going to the playoffs. All of these things are not great. I think they played their best game of the season yesterday. As weird as that is to say out loud with no Cooper Kupp, no Aaron Donald, no Matthew Stafford, no Allen Robinson, no A'shaun Robinson, no Troy Hill. They're missing like 10 starters. And I think that they played their best game of the season. And that is both, I guess, quasi-encouraging and deeply depressing simultaneously.
They get another win this year. If they get it, is it just the Broncos game?
I think there's two chances. I think they got two chances. The Broncos is obviously the best chance that they have on Christmas. Okay. I think they can beat Seattle. I got a good look at Seattle yesterday. Seattle's not very good.
But at Seattle?
Yeah.
Especially if there's playoff implications. I don't feel good about
different.
That.
That's different. If Seattle's still in the mix, and they probably will be, maybe not. But look, the Rams were playing with their third string team. They had a chance to win the game at the end.
And Seattle wanted to beat them. Like, they were not playing like lackadaisical.
No, they got
really fired up. They got really into the game. Both teams were fighting really hard. So, they're going to get the best.
Could I say this too? And this is just a very NFL thing. Isn't that the NFL?
Sure.
That you play down to your competition at times. And it's not that Seattle's been playing flawless football over the last couple of weeks, but you play down to your competition. You know, you got nothing to lose if you're the Rams. Yeah, they're just kind of this combination. I know they don't have the talent, but that game being close wasn't the craziest thing I've seen in the NFL.
The rub is, Al, and here's why it's a challenge. That what you're just describing, it's the NFL. Another team takes their foot off the gas for just a second. You look past an opponent, all of these things. That was yesterday, and they still lost. You know what I mean? That was yesterday's game where, they came to play. They played hard. They competed. Great opening drive. Mm-hmm. I would argue. I'm not kidding. I think it was their best drive of the season. Mm-hmm. I really do. Mm-hmm. It was balanced. It was effective. They went right down. They scored a touchdown. Everything about it was terrific. John Wolford was not great.
He was okay.
He was
average.
He wasn't bad.
You know what he was? A backup quarterback in the NFL.
And they still lost. They got a touchdown with about 3 minutes to go in the game to go ahead, to go over 20 points.
Mm-hmm.
Let me say this again. To go over 20 points for just the second time this season. And it felt like they were going to get it, and they still lost. That's how you know.
And
that
Geno Smith looked like Joe Montana at the end. Nothing you can do.
It's so frustrating to watch.
You know, it's funny. I know what you're saying. I know how you feel. I know all this stuff. And again, we go back to this with the Rams. They're 3-9. What? What are you talking about? What do you mean they're 3-9? They're 3-9. That's what they are. I wouldn't be shocked or surprised that come off season, you know, they do some work around the edges here. They try to get healthy. It's not – they're coming off a Super Bowl. So it's the shock factor of how can you be this bad after a Super Bowl. But this does happen in the NFL, and wouldn't be shocked or surprised.
This is the worst ever been.
And I get that. I understand. Was it Tampa was the only one?
Yeah.
I get it. I understand how bad it is. But are you also shocked next year they come back, do some stuff in the offseason, get healthy, that they're back in the mix? And I'm not saying go win a Super Bowl.
They will not be 3-9 through 12 games next year. They will be much better than that. Even if they bring back the exact same team, you're not going to get the injury bug like you got it this year, presumably.
Either it all goes your way or it all goes against you.
You know what I keep thinking about? I keep telling myself this every single – like walking to Hollywood Park Casino yesterday thinking that they may lose again, 6 in a row, 3-9, all the things we're talking about. I keep going back to how fortunate they were that thing ended the way that it did last year. Because if Cooper Kupp doesn't catch that pass, if they don't call that penalty, if any of those breaks that they caught don't happen, you went to the Super Bowl, you didn't win, and now you're 3-9.
Yep.
And now you don't have your first-round draft pick and all of these. But that they got it, you can kind of say, hey, listen, this is a disaster.
Yeah.
They won the Super Bowl 10 months ago.
I know.
It just happened. So you can kind of hate what's happening, but understand what's happening. Had they one pass goes the different way, one drop, one missed call, and we're talking about, you went all in, but you didn't get it done. They did get it done.
So that's usually the big issue that you have in sports is teams that think their window is right now. They go all in. Trav, they don't cash it out. And then they're bad for the next X amount of years. Listen, the Lakers are not in that different of a position. The fact that they won in Orlando, that they cashed in that championship with Anthony Davis, that all those picks that they gave up and, you know, the pick this year going to the Pelicans, whatever the case is, you can still always fall on, but you got one in 2020.
Yeah.
The Rams can always fall on, you got one in 2021.
For sure.
And whatever happens moving forward, or February 2022, whatever happens moving forward, you kind of have that luxury to say, Yeah, but there's a banner up there.
I swear, Slee, I hand to God that there. Emily see me do this. Like, you'll look over where we sit. The banner's kind of right above our head, just a little bit to our right. And when it's going the way, it's like, well, at least they got that thing.
100%.
At least that's there. At least we got to enjoy
How many
that.
Franchises have taken a model of going all in and have nothing to account for it?
Almost all of them.
It happens to every one of them.
Right. That you're far more likely to miss it than get it, and that the Rams got it is pretty remarkable. They're going to win 4 games, 5 tops. That a 5 in what would that be 12 season?
Yeah, 5
on the
12.
Heels of a Super Bowl.
How many more national games do they have?
Only 3.
And that shows how much the NFL and the scheduling believed in them going into the season, and that they backloaded all of their primetime and Santa Ana games to be December.
Of course.
Ugh.
That person got fired.
I think they'll get
that person's got canned.
They'll get their Sunday night game against the Chargers flexed out because
the
Chargers may be out of it by then too. But you got Thursday night, then you've got Monday night. Then you've got Christmas, and then you've got the last two. So if they don't – I was wrong. If they don't flex Sunday night, they'll have 4 of their final 5 on standalone primetime games, except for the final week of the season. You win the Super Bowl. That's how it happens.
Can I tell you, and this is a perfect example of it, 3-9. Remember I told you bet your house? The NFL league office was betting their house that – guys, we'll be fine. Don't worry about the Rams. Keep putting them on there.
Monday night in Green Bay, 2 weeks from today. Okay, Rams, Super Bowl champion, Aaron Rodgers, 2-time reigning NFL MVP.
Yep.
Monday Night Football, you're going to have 7 wins combined between these two teams.
If the Bucs have a game.
And the starting quarterbacks probably won't be playing. Maybe.
If the Bucs have a game that night, they will air that game on the Jumbotron with the audio. With the audio. Bucs and the Pelicans.
Yeah. Goodness. Why not? Why not? All right, we'll go to USC. Caleb Williams gets hurt. Does he still win the Heisman Trophy? And how do we feel about what we just saw? Great season, average season, disaster season. That's next. It's Travis Slee, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Couple of quick tweets here, Slee, to get us going. This is from Raider Ruben, so he's one of your people, a member of the Raider Nation, you and Ruben.
Oh, so nice seeing the Chargers lose again.
6-6. This is their year. This year's going to be different.
Could I give them one thing?
Sure.
They've got battered with injuries as
they
well.
They have. But 6-6, they should be better than 6-6.
Oh, yeah.
And here they are. It's
My favorite is, again, in the text chain where the – yeah, but they're in every game. Yeah,
great. Congratulations.
They lose all those games. So what are you then?
That throw that Justin Herbert made towards the end of the game was bananas. That guy makes one of those a game that's just making me, wait, what? That's Patrick Mahomes level nonsense.
He has moments.
He is unreal. All right, so Raider Ruben writes, why is it okay for the Rams and Lakers that they cashed in one championship so far but not for the Dodgers? Is it not painfully obvious? There's two main differences. Number one, the Dodgers did not sell off everything they owned to get into the World Series, right?
They're one of the few franchises that have a real, in all of sports, it's a sustainable machine. Sustainable machine.
They did not give away a bunch of picks. They did not go buy a bunch of free agents at the expense of prospects. They just are in it every
single
year.
Which is a compliment to them.
So they're not thin. The Lakers are not equipped to win a championship right now or last year. The Rams clearly are not equipped to win a championship right now. The Dodgers are. The other part is to this, Ruben, during the Dodger run, the 10 mm-hmm. years that we've been talking about, they've either been the best team or in the top two or three virtually
every
single time.
One of the favorites every single season.
Right. The Rams going into the playoffs last year were a four seed. The Lakers, a little bit different than they won it, but the Dodgers are a top seed or very close to it every single time. When you're the favorite, you should go more than 1 for 10.
I think on top of that too, you know, people want to admit it or they don't. They want to see you're too good of a franchise in an organization. You want to see one of those 162s cashed in.
Sure.
You want to see 160. Let's just use this year as an example. The Dodgers won 111 games. 111.
I want to say it's the sixth most ever in the history of Major League Baseball. Been playing it for 150 years.
They started playoffs on a Tuesday. Their season was done by a Saturday. Sunday, they were already making plans for their offseason. So I think there's it's not – listen, I get his point. They won a World Series. I do think there are some factors that makes it feel a little bit different, but it's more of a compliment to the Dodgers. They've been good for so long, you feel like they should have cashed in more. I can't look at the Lakers and say, you know, over that 10-year stretch, they should have cashed in more. No, they're fortunate to have cashed in that one.
Rams too. Same idea, right? That you get enough bites at it. For the Dodgers, you should have more than one the way that they did. SC was in, like I mentioned to you, I was at the bar on Friday night after playing golf. We're watching SC. It's 17-3. They're mm-hmm. they look like they're just getting ready
they're
to
rolling.
Run over Utah.
Rolling.
Caleb Williams is doing all the things that he does. He takes off for that long run, and he gets hurt. And you could tell he pulled up right before the contact. It wasn't like you and I have talked about where he gets down on purpose to avoid contact. This was,
popped a hamstring.
Hamstring injury. He goes down. The game turns on a dime.
Yeah.
They only not end up losing the game. They get destroyed mm-hmm. from that point forward. They got pushed around. They were the less physical team. They got embarrassed.
After the first quarter, it was 40-something to 10.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
It was mm-hmm. it was bad. And you're an inch away from everything that you're hoping for. Final Four, Heisman Trophy, Pac-12 championship, all of these things. Now you're in the Cotton Bowl against Tulane. Playing,
you got Tulane again, huh? Tulane, we were pumping Tulane last week, so the fact that we get him, I think, means something.
Caleb Williams is still the odds-on favorite to win the Heisman Trophy. I still think that he probably will, but what was that? And I'm not talking about the game on Friday night against Utah. Like, what did we just watch for the last 3.5 months? Is that a good season? Was it a great season? Was it a disaster? Was it incredibly unsatisfied? Yes, to all of them.
I want to play something out for you because we did something Friday before the game, and I don't think both you and I really even believed what we were saying, but it was just, let's do this for the practice of it. What if SC lost? No, come on. They're not going to lose to Utah. Look, they already lost one. There's a lot coming into this game. You got a chance to obviously instantly put your program not just back on the map in the college football championship. It's yours. It's all in front of you. And are you really going to lose to a Utah team that you already lost to by 1 point in Utah? You get another crack at it. Like, we love the way the whole thing lined up. I could look at it a couple ways. I'll tell you how I genuinely, genuinely feel. The fact that they are in that bowl game against Tulane, it is the equivalent of, I don't know, somebody telling you that you're going to win the lottery, you're going to win the lottery, you're going to win the lottery, and then all of a sudden at the end, it's like you didn't win the lottery, but you won two tickets to the holiday or to the Hollywood Bowl.
I'm going to buy you dinner tonight.
I'm going to buy you dinner. It was like I just got so pumped up because I thought this was going to happen, and then this is the consolation prize. So I'd be lying to you if I didn't say that, of course, it's incredibly disappointing. Utah has won the Pac-12 championship 2 years in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Utah, not Oregon. And I'm not trying to put anything on Utah, but Oregon and USC, that's kind of been the face of the Pac-12 here for obviously a number of years. You had it all in front of you. Of course, the Caleb Williams injury had a big impact in that game, but the one thing that you were afraid of all season long was, can your defense hold somebody? Can your defense maybe win you a game? The answer is not just no, absolutely not. They can't do it. So if you're an SC fan, how are you not feeling today as if everything that you accomplished did take a step back based on before that game on Friday?
I think that's right. So a couple of things. Number one, I made a mistake that I've made before, and I'm kicking myself for doing it. I should know better. I've seen it happen enough times that I should know better. Utah's really good. And we keep, they'll beat them. Hold on a second. Utah last year played Oregon twice, and everybody's like, oh, Oregon's better. They kicked Oregon's ass twice, okay? SC, there's 1 point, it's on the road. They come in there, and they kicked their ass in that game. Utah's really good, okay? Maybe they're not super sexy. They don't have,
They don't need to be.
They don't have the pedigree of Oregon and SC. Like,
it's okay.
They're super physical. They're really well coached, and they were not going to be freaked out by playing against SC. They just weren't. And I didn't factor that in, and I'm kicking myself for it. They're really, really good, and they deserve to win that game. So put that aside for a second. All the other things you said I think are right. I'm a college football fan. I don't want to watch SC play Tulane. I have zero interest in that. None. I'm telling you right, I will not watch that. A, because I'll be at the Rose Bowl doing my own thing, but I don't care about Tulane football. It doesn't interest me at all. And then Caleb Williams, I do think, will win the Heisman Trophy. And I think that's when you're going to start to say, you know what? It's a pretty damn good season. Right now, Monday morning, it feels like, you know what? You had it right there. You lost another game. You're not at the conference champ. You're in a bowl game against Tulane. Nothing feels good today.
Yeah.
When he holds up that trophy and you see him in an SC, the highlight pack.
Knowing
he's coming back, it's going to feel pretty good. Fast forward past the Tulane game. Okay, not that day or the day after. Give it another month after that. Wait, we got Jordan Addison coming back. You got Caleb Williams coming back. We've got a year two of Lincoln Riley. We're going to have another recruiting class. We're going to go through
another
the portal
again. Another year of bad
defense. And, well, we'll get to that in a second. You start to talk yourself into, look, we were way ahead of schedule. Way ahead of schedule. Mm-hmm. Can't wait to get going. This will be a great season 2 months from now. It's not a great season right now, but 2 months from now, when all the dust kind of settles, you say, look, we went 11-2. That's a hell of a season.
If you just take this portion of it for SC, if I'd have told you before the season started, forget the result, forget all that, that SC is a real conversation again.
Yep.
That you and I are going to spend a lot of time talking about USC. That college football is going to spend a lot of time talking about USC. That college football is looking at where USC, and you're looking at those top 5 schools, top 10 schools, top 7 schools, that USC is in the mix. That, I think, you could obviously take a lot of positivity from, but it's not like they lost the game. It's not like they could have said, well, they're going to the Rose Bowl this year. And I thought Mace made this point a couple weeks ago. I think this was maybe even before the SC-UCLA game, certainly before USC-Notre Dame. Do not sleep on making it to the Rose Bowl. That's a great accomplishment if they make it to the Rose Bowl. Their problem this year is they not only lost the college football again in the college football championship, they also don't get into the Rose Bowl. So I think if you could have just taken one of those two things, they lost both of them in one game.
Let's try a quick phone call here. Let's go to Chris in Los Angeles. Chris, you're on with Trav and Slee. What's up?
Hey, guys. As a longtime SC fan, I think the season was a success. I think sometimes disappointment is there, but that's okay because that doesn't mean the overall experience was horrible. One word comes to mind when I think of what's happened this year, and that's relevance. USC is now relevant, and that was shown by the national AT&T ad where they reference USC in it.
Mm-hmm.
We're way ahead of schedule. Sure, it's disappointing to not be there, but if it's disappointing, that means you were close to getting your goal. So we fell short this year, but we're right there, right there ready to make it happen. As you said, a lot of the players are coming back, hopefully, and they're getting some transfer portal players. But I think overall it was a great season. If we 2 years, 3 years, or even a year ago thought that we would be where we are now, we would have been jumping up and down.
Yeah, I just think Verizon would have been a better commercial personally. So
I think you're right, Chris.
3-0.
I think that the longer that this is in the rearview mirror, the better it's going to feel. Here's the next part, though.
By the way, that's a really good perspective. You're right. I think there's something to what you're saying where, hey, 60 days from now, let's have the conversation. Is that going to change after that,
100%.
When you're in the moment.
Because let's say you beat Tulane. We won a New Year's Day bowl game. We won 10 games.
It's too late.
Got the Heisman Trophy winner, and he's coming back. We clearly got the right coach. You're going to feel really good about it. Here's the question that we can fast forward, and we'll talk about it after Factor Cap, which is coming up next. You can't have – Lincoln Riley has a defense problem, like you mentioned.
Yeah.
How many times are we going to see that game under Lincoln Riley before you say, hey, are we going to fix this or not? Because that was not an aberration. That's exactly what has happened to him in the biggest games in his career at Oklahoma. That's coming up next. It's Travis Slee, Factor Cap, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hey guys, just
you should have seen that sales job of Greg trying to sell Trav on that last goal. No, this one was different. Yeah. And then he started showing it to you, and then Factor Cat music came on.
Thank God
it was over.
Otherwise, I would have had to watch a soccer goal.
Also, it's been an hour and a half, and we're remiss of saying that Emily won the week this week.
Oh, yeah. You're right. Would you like a quick update, Em?
Yeah, quick update.
Emily won the week. She had 6 points.
She's won like 13 in a row.
She's hot.
And I just missed USC.
She now has 4.5 weekly wins, which is only a half week behind me. She now has 69 total points, just 2 points behind me. 71-69. Al's got 58. Taylor, I'm sorry to tell you, you had 0 last week. You went 0-4. Oh,
how'd that happen?
And you get 0. And Al, you only got 1 right. So you get 3.
Which game did I get?
You got the Niners. Yeah, you got the Niners. We all got the Niners except for Taylor, who had the Dolphins. In fact, the Niners were the only team that I got. But Emily, you're closing fast, just 2 points behind.
We'll see. All right. So I was seeing a bunch of USC beat writers posting on Twitter this weekend about coming back after going to see the team play in Las Vegas. And one writer posted about the price of his Aleve at the Las Vegas airport. And
Pain reliever Aleve?
Yes. And I always think that's kind of funny. You know, obviously Las Vegas is going to hike up the prices of both water and Aleve. So it's cruel for Aleve and water bottles to be ridiculously expensive at Las Vegas lobbies and airports. Travis, Factor Cap.
Fact. That's okay. I mean, if you haven't figured out by the time that you're getting ready to leave Las Vegas that you're going to need water and some sort of pain reliever, that's on you. Right. It's not a surprise what you're going to do in Vegas. It's not a surprise you're going to stay out too late, eat too much, drink too much, lose too much of your money, become dehydrated, all of those things. Throw a couple of bottles of Aquafina in your bag. Throw a tube of Tylenol in your bag, and otherwise it's on you. I have no problem with it.
Al?
It is cruel. This is a fact. And the fact that they get away with it, these airports, what's going on here? Okay, listen, I understand. You have no other choice. But damn, do you got to make it that expensive? Going to a sporting event. I get it. We have no other choice. I understand that. But if a water over there is $1 and your water is $11, can we find something a little bit reasonable?
Let me tell you this. You know the water over there is $1. You know it's
I can't take
11.
Water in. I can't take water in.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay,
you could take your water bottle and now you could fill it up there and stand in line with everybody else who's also waiting to fill up. I get all that. That's fine. But can we just be a little reasonable?
What's the line? Your failure to plan does not constitute my emergency.
Do you agree? Do you agree that it's just so beyond unreasonable?
Of course.
That's all I'm saying. Just a little reasonable.
Plan ahead. Get your water bottle.
I did. I took that Ambien, and I was took it way too soon.
I can just see you just a total done. Just wet noodle in
I've
the
never
line.
I've never taken one of those in my life. I was
take one
this
before
was
work
years
every
ago,
day.
By the way.
Just like a Tic Tac.
Oh,
freshen up.
Taylor?
Cap, I'm with Trav on this one. I have no sympathy for lack of preparation.
See, Alan?
4-0.
Just keep helping those corporations.
Is Korea not trying, or is Brazil just that much better?
He's not having a good time.
Happy. Yeah, he did not look like he's enjoying himself.
Not happy.
I don't think any of us know this well enough to answer that question of yours. Two Mikes in the NFL ranks had some interesting things happen this weekend. So, Mike Tomlin was not approached, but like kind of accosted by a fan in the bowels of the stadium, and he was like, "Hey, Mike, can you get a picture or anything?" And this is what Mike Tomlin said in response.
Let's go for the win, man.
So he said, "I'm effing working." And then Mike McDaniels, I don't have the sound of this because it was kind of like you had to lip read, but Mike McDaniels with the Dolphins went up to his players and was like, you know, I messed up. It's my fault. He didn't say mess. Yep, he said another word. So you would rather have your coach be a Mike Tomlin than a Mike McDaniels. Alan, fetch your cap.
Geez, I love Mike Tomlin, but I will tell you, I'm a cap on this one. I don't think we see it enough, right, where leaders, somebody who's running a team, organization, whatever the case is, says, guys, that one's on me. Maybe Sean McVay does it in every presser, but I think that one's more a little more robotic or whatever the case is.
Don't know why you'd say that.
That is a moment in the middle of a game against the San Francisco 49ers on the road. There's a lot going on. He's staring at his players. Guys, that one's on me. I like that. Like, I think there's in my opinion, it will make me work harder for the person that I'm working for, because they're obviously they're taking the blame for whatever the case is. But I don't hate Mike Tomlin either. I mean, Tomlin is that guy is He's the working. Definition of success in the NFL. So,
the whole oh my bad guy. Yeah, I know. You don't need to tell me. I know it was your fault. I'm well aware that you blew that, and you telling me that you blew it doesn't really make me feel any better. I like Mike Tomlin a lot. I especially like his reaction to that, because this doesn't happen a lot, but Emily, it happened like twice yesterday where we're in the middle of something doing the shows out, and somebody, I have a headset on,
yeah.
I'm actively talking
that's my
into
favorite
a
part.
Microphone.
And they can hear you on the speaker.
That's my favorite
and
part.
They want to, I can't hear you. I have headphones on, and I can't hear you, mm-hmm. and they want to
that's
engage
the time.
Yeah,
this
in
this is the time to
like,
come talk with you.
Brother, I'm working right now. Mm-hmm. What, if you want to wait 5 minutes, I'd love to have a conversation with you when I take my headset off, but Mike Tomlin's, I'm bleeping working right now. I love it. So I'm Team Tomlin.
Did you say it?
No, I do this. Just hold the finger up like my lips are moving.
I want you to say I'm bleeping working.
Occupation,
right? I want you to say I'm bleeping working.
Would you go in the middle of a guy performing an operation and start asking him questions in the middle of it?
100%. I thought that guy was waving at me that came in.
Amazon.
It was Amazon.
Off.
But he was waving to tell me that it was
package.
He's dropping off the box there.
I
gave
hello.
Him a wave, and he gave me a thumbs up, and then he dropped it off there.
Maybe it's for you.
That right. communication.
You never
there.
Know. You never know.
Taylor?
Fact, I like the accountability from McDaniels. I know he's not a coach, but when Vlade Divac was GM for the Kings, I mean, he said after 5 years, if they haven't done anything in my time, I'll step down. And he did.
Should have put the light on. It would have helped.
Should have drafted Luka.
That would have helped.
That would have helped too.
Yeah. Well, who could see that coming other than everybody?
Are any of you guys Law and Order fans at all?
What fans?
Law and Order.
Oh, yeah.
So a fan reached out to Chris Maloney on Twitter. So Chris Maloney is one of the stars of Law and Order.
Elliot Stabler.
Yep.
Yes.
Elliot Stabler. And so this fan tweeted out their wedding invitations, and they look like. It says John and Kelly, August 26, 2023. It looks like the Law and Order
font,
yes. So they tweeted out, "Hey, Chris, come to my wedding." And then Chris Maloney responds, "And do what?" And so I thought that was pretty sweet. But you would attend a complete stranger's wedding, not like your spouse or your partner knows this person, but you would go complete stranger's wedding. Taylor, Patrick Cap.
Without knowing anybody in the party, or
don't know anybody in the party, you were just
wedding
invited
crashers.
By
yeah,
the
I'd go with
group.
A good friend if I had somebody to go with, but by myself, that'd be a little awkward situation.
Trev,
yeah, I feel like this
he
is
loves
a no-brainer.
Weddings.
I love weddings.
Loves weddings.
I'm
guy.
With Taylor, and I would want somebody to. I would need a wingman or Susan or somebody to come with me and enjoy it. But I like the music. I like the food. I like the dancing. I like the booze.
And it
I
depends like on how inviting they look, you know.
Yeah.
If it's kind of, you know, everybody's just hanging loose. And
I'm 100% in. Fact.
So Travis and Sliwa community, invite Travis to all your weddings.
I'll come.
I'll be cap on this, but let me set this up. Let's just say everything's got to line up perfectly. If I'm staying at a hotel, I'm there for a couple of days. And I'm walking through the lobby, and I see one of the ballrooms has this just awesome party going on. Everybody's having a good time. And I'm with somebody. I ain't going solo to that thing, right? Either I'm with my girl or like a buddy, like you said. I'll take a quick peek in. What's it looking like over there? Susan, is there a couple extra chairs?
Susan and I tried to crash a wedding. This is, probably 4 or 5 years ago at this point. We went to have a drink at the Montage Hotel in Laguna Beach.
Okay.
It's a very nice place. And you see this very elaborate wedding taking place on the lawn, like super elaborate. Mm-hmm. Everybody's in black tie and very nice suits and everything else. And then you start to look around and you realize that there's not a lot of other people at the hotel. So we're talking to the bartender and he's like, yeah, they tried to rent out the hotel. So most of the people that are at the hotel are guests of this wedding. There's a few people in the restaurants open and things like that. So they went from the bluff where the grass is overlooking the ocean to one of the big ballrooms.
Yep.
And there were hundreds, if not thousands of people at this wedding.
Damn.
We were dressed reasonably nicely. We're like, let's just see if we can't wander into this thing. People are coming in and out. They have their ties off. It's kind of a little bit later at night at the door. Can we help you guys? Oh, wrong place. We just turn around and walk back.
How quick did you abort mission?
Immediately. Immediately. Like,
do you ever have that where like your confidence is through the roof? Maybe you had a drink or two, and all of a sudden you start walking up and they call you out just for a half a second. You're like, oh, there's nothing going on here.
I did the thing where I looked at the guy. Like, I'm a big believer in the don't try to sneak in. Like, look at I wave at the guy. Hey, how you doing? Good to see you. That whole thing. And like, hey, yeah, what's up? And he's like, can I help you? No. wrong place. Yeah, we're good out of here.
I'm fast walk head down.
Yeah, that doesn't work. Neither did this in this case, but that definitely doesn't work.
877-710-3776. Call in if you guys have wedding crasher stories. It'd be fun to hear or like tweet at us
drink.
Too. Yeah. This happened. So college football playoff top four were announced. Alabama did not happen to be in that. But on Saturday night during the Fox halftime show, Nick Saban did a little bit of groveling. So I'm going to play that for you right now.
If we played any of these teams that are on the edge or getting in, would we be the underdog or would we be the favorite? And I think if you can answer that question, and the goal is to get the best teams in, then you would say they belong in there.
So this was embarrassing of Nick Saban. Travis, Fetcher, Cap.
Cap. This is what the coaches are supposed to do. You're lobbying to get your team in there. It's a little unsavory to watch because Nick Saban's Nick Saban and him groveling like you're saying is weird, but that's the job. And oh, by the way, everything he said is right. That if these are not the four best teams. Alabama is one of the four best teams in the country. If Alabama were in the Final Four, they might win it.
Mm-hmm.
He's 100% right. I'm okay with them putting TCU in, but TCU is clearly the weak sister in this group.
Cap for me. I think this is a perfect example of it's who said it, not what he said. It's because Nick Saban said it, not what he actually said. Because if you're asking me, I thought TCU was done. I really did. I thought when they lost on Saturday, I just assumed Ohio State's getting in, Alabama's getting in, and those were going to be the four. If you also ask me, I'd much rather have Alabama in than watch TCU in this game.
Couldn't agree more.
So I don't
Alabama
think,
could win that tournament.
I don't think he's wrong. I think he is right on if you went and put them up against TCU or something like that, who would be the favorite? Come on. It's just the mere fact that it's coming from Nick Saban's mouth that people don't like it. But what he's saying is right, and I did think Alabama was going to make that top four.
All right, we got a little breaking news. We can talk about this when we come back and kind of break it all down. Trey Turner and the Philadelphia Phillies are in agreement on a contract, a source tells ESPN, that according to Jeff Passan. Kylie McDaniel says that Trey Turner is getting 11 years, $300 million, with a full no-trade clause. So the Dodgers are in the market for a shortstop. Trey Turner heading to Philadelphia East Coast. It felt like this was inevitable at some point. Not a huge surprise, but still disappointing. Do it on the other side, Al?
Yeah, let's do it on the other side
here. All right, we'll come back. We'll talk about that. Verlander off the market. DeGrom off the market. Turner off the market. And Clayton Kershaw still in L.A. It's all coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. Emily, do you have any like winning lottery numbers that you'd like to share with the group? Because she says to me this morning, we're chit-chatting, and she says, you know, I just feel like today the baseball stuff's going to go nuts. So,
I was like, I am an intuitive person. I said, I have intuition that today is a day where there were going to be multiple things that happened, things that have been building that were going to be happening. And yeah, we have the receipts.
Absolutely. So here's what's happened. Let's start with the biggest one and the one that I think is the most impactful for the Dodgers right now.
Just went down.
Trey Turner is going to be a member of the Philadelphia Phillies. He's in agreement on a contract. He's going to get reportedly 11 years, $300 million with a full no trade clause. So you know how much I think of Trey Turner. He has been terrific. So in the space of 2 years, they're going to have lost Corey Seager and Trey Turner to free agency. Both of these guys are all-stars. Both of these guys are MVP caliber talents.
Yep.
And they're both going to play for different teams next year. And the Dodgers need a shortstop.
So I think this is what sticks out to me. First off, Trey Turner is a big-time piece to the Los Angeles Dodgers. Sure. And that 1-2-3 that they had to start out a game was literally as good as a 1-2-3 that not you had this year in baseball. Tell me a better 1-2-3. Just look at the history
really
of baseball. It's amazing to see those three together. So you're taking out a huge piece that was there. And I don't think the Dodgers could have done anything about it. I think the Corey Seager, the conversation a year ago was, hey, listen, if the Rangers come in and pay this guy crazy money, you know, it's not like the Dodgers are not willing to spend, but you also reach a point where you say that's just not a good business move for an organization that's pretty smart with most of the decisions that they make.
Mm-hmm.
The Trey Turner thing, this one is different. It's different because
you don't have a guy waiting.
Well, you not only don't have a guy waiting, I don't know what the Dodgers could have done to convince Trey Turner that this is the spot. This was, how many different times did we say, hey, they're saying Trey Turner's really interested in going back to the East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying Trey Turner, can you make a baseball reason why Trey Turner should not play for the Los Angeles Dodgers?
No.
I don't think you can. Can you make a financial reason why he shouldn't play for the Dodgers?
I don't know if the Dodgers would have gone 11 years on a deal, so maybe that's what he's looking for. Maybe it's the term as much as it is the money. You're talking about, you know, a little bit less than $30 million a year. I think the Dodgers would have gone to the AAV in that area, but I don't think they're going 11 years on anybody.
Here's the one problem that I will say what happened today. It's okay when Corey Seager goes to the Texas Rangers. Trey Turner went to the Phillies. Philadelphia was in the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
Philadelphia is a nice squad, and they just stay in the, you know, obviously in the National League. Justin Verlander signed with the New York Mets. He comes now to the, you know, obviously to the National League.
$43 million a year. 2 years, $86 million.
And Trav, I'm not trying to make a case for you that that's a good contract. What I'm trying to say is, the talent stayed in the NL or came to the NL. It just makes it, you know, not only did the Dodgers miss a piece, that piece is going to go to a team that represented the NL.
The Turner thing, the problem I have with it is not that the Dodgers balked at the term or the money, which maybe they were in on that same level. Maybe they were going to give him the Mookie deal. Maybe they were going to go super big like that. They did give him a long-term deal like that. But I think the first thing you said is probably the most important, which is it felt like he wanted to go back east, and there is no argument for that. If the argument is, I don't want to be here, I can't talk you off that ledge. Okay, fine. The problem I have with this is who's going to play shortstop? Because I know Dave Roberts said this when he was getting ready to receive his Manager of the Year award that never came. But he said, oh, we got Gavin Lux there. No, let's not do that. I've seen that. No. I do not want to do that. I don't think that Gavin Lux is anything other than an average defensive mate. He can hit. I want him in my lineup, but I don't need him at shortstop. There's too many things going on right there. So who's it going to be? There are other players in free. There's Carlos Correa. There's Dansby Swanson. There are some other players that maybe you could make a move for, but it's a pretty important position. And to your point, Al, this is a guy that bats in the heart of the most lethal part of your order with Betts and Freeman. He's gone.
He's on 11 times a game.
He's on a lot. Right about that. And you know who makes the most sense to replace him? Yeah.
Yeah.
That guy, Carlos Correa.
Mm-hmm.
Carlos Correa is the closest thing to him that there is. He hits. He plays shortstop. You drop the Betts, Freeman, Correa, 1-2-3. Yeah, pretty much the same thing. It doesn't run quite like Trey Turner does, but okay. That is the closest facsimile to what you had there. Reportedly, John Heyman saying that the Dodgers are at the front of the list for Carlos Correa, that the Dodgers have interest, and that the hang-up seems to be whether or not the teammates will respond to him and whether or not the fans will respond to him. You know my feeling on this, right? When I heard this, I'm like, never in a thousand years, no, 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 no.
This started last year, too.
Last year, for sure.
Remember that conversation.
And now it's, you know what? I'm never going to be a Carlos Correa fan. I will never cheer for him. I'm never going to get out of my seat. I'm never going to put my hands together. But I can grin and bear it. If he can help them win games, I'll get over it.
You'll get out of your seat.
He'll. You're probably right.
If he's balling,
you're probably right. And if you get to September and October and he's playing,
yeah,
and they're winning games because he's a part of it, mm-hmm, I'll get over it pretty quickly. I don't want to. Like, emotionally, I still hate the guy. But look, we just lost one of our best players.
I was just going to say, is that conversation, does it start changing simply because, well, what's your other option? Like you just said, Gavin Lux at second or Gavin Lux at short is not something that you want to see on a night-in, night-out basis. That Trey Turner just left the organization, went and signed with the Philadelphia Phillies. If Correa is your best option left, you trying to win games, or is it more about the principle? And by the way, I wouldn't be surprised if there's a lot of Dodger fans saying, no, it's more about the principle.
Dodger fans, let us know. 877-710-3776. The one thing, when you see the Verlander deal, yeah, you see the DeGrom deal, mm-hmm, you see this Turner deal, I think the thing that makes me feel good about the Dodgers, if I got to put my finger on something, they clearly have a budget.
Ton of money.
They clear, not even that. It's, yes, they do, and they can go spend it, but they're not going to do that thing, just give it to them, just get it done. Nope, this is the number. We'll go to this spot. If you can get a better deal somewhere else, go take it. Because I can't imagine that they were super far off from Verlander. If it just came down to a couple of million bucks or another year, they clearly drew the line. That you want to pay a 40-year-old $43 million?
Well, can I ask you?
We're not doing that.
Can I ask you this question? You know, it's easy to say right now, and I get that. If he did come to the Dodgers and they did overspend for 2 years, mm-hmm, are you not in this window? He's old, don't get me wrong, but he's also in the World Series,
yep,
a month ago and helping the Houston Astros win one. You also don't want to see them put themselves in a position where they saved a little. You know, you can follow the script all the time.
What did we
but
talk
that about? Script that you've been following has also not
right.
panned out every time.
It hasn't panned out in the postseason. You're right about that. But the reason we just talked about it was a Raider Ruben or Ruben the Raider or whatever it was. The reason they're in it, they have a plan. We're not giving Corey Seager, mm-hmm, that. Nope. We're not giving Trey Turner that. Or we're not. They're very selective about what they do and don't do contract wise, and it's a big reason that they're as successful and is what's the word?
Sustainable.
Optional, sustainable. Mm-hmm. You know, versatile as they are. I hate that Trey Turner's gone, but I think that they have a big problem at shortstop. And God, I hate what I'm about to say. I think Carlos Correa is the answer. I really, truly do.
All right, during this holiday season, ESPN LA and Subaru are partnering with the Folds of Honor Foundation for our inaugural Lawn Drive-a-thon event. Proceeds raised will provide scholarships to families of America's fallen or disabled military and first responders. Event is taking place this Friday at Black Gold Golf Club in Yorba Linda. If you'd like to participate and purchase a green fee, go to blackgoldgolf.com. That's blackgoldgolf.com. Special thanks to our partners, Johnny O, Meat District, and Travis Matthew.
All right, so we got some calls on Carlos Correa, and more importantly, we got people with Wedding Crasher stories. We get to those next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.